Greetings and welcome to MERS Monday, the official podcast of the MERS Political Newsletter. I'm Kyle Malin, joined by the boss, John Rurink and Jack Spencer, and our special guest today, Jake Davison, with a special announcement. Jake, sounds like you've got a new title to add to your name. What's going on?
Well, very proud to say that as of late last week, I became the owner, editor, and publisher of Inside Michigan Politics, officially.
Well, that's pretty exciting. Now, tell our listeners what you have been doing up until this point.
Yeah, I've been a longtime Michigan political staffer and operative. I've worked in the House and the Senate. I've worked for Kelly Rossman doing public relations, did some C3 and C4 work for Americans for Prosperity, and I've had my own business since 2011. Which is going to continue, but along with the this Inside Michigan Politics thing, which is really a dream come true.
So you're going to continue to do your business, and that's Advantage?
Advantage Associates.
Yeah, Advantage Associates. And Tell our listeners what that is.
Basically, Advantage Associates offers anything you can think of in the world of politics, public relations, short of, you know, I'm not a lawyer, so I can't do that stuff. But besides that, you know, I've had my hand in everything over the last 17, 18 years of being paid in politics, so... we do it all. Now, if one thing I do want to mention, that if I ever have a conflict with a client, say it's a candidate or an issue or something, I'll have to subcontract an article if it affects that issue or client out to somebody or a part of an article, and I'll be very transparent about that.
So any disclosure of any client that you may be writing about is something that you intend to do?
I had one client that is a great guy. We're good friends. I had to tell him that, like, look, I've got this new publication and I've got these other things going on. And, you know, come June or July, when you get close to the election for the primary, I just can't be there necessarily when you need me. And, you know, I really should resign, turn over the files and stuff, because, you know, I looked at maybe pitch in the future. But, I just can't be there, you know, in crunch time in July when the mail's flying. So, you know, I had to say goodbye to him, and I'm sure he'll do just fine.
So tell our listeners how this came about. How did you become the new publisher of Inside Michigan Politics?
Susan, she liked doing it for the 4.5 years that she did it. But she'll tell you herself that being the editor of Inside Michigan Politics, she got to be nonpartisan, and she would rather get back into the field of political advocacy for progressive causes. I can't blame her. You know, they made a pretty reasonable offer with a lot of flexibility to it. And I think they also wanted to find someone that they could trust to do a good job with it. And also, I guess I just have the right friends in Susan and her husband, Joe DeSano.
Mm-hmm. So what's your vision? What do you hope to get out of this?
I plan on basically owning this until I can't imagine ever selling it in my life. So, let's say I'm 38. Let's say I got another 40 years under my belt. I'll have it for 4 decades.
That's the vision. John?
Well, there's more. I mean, the vision is, fancy cars and helicopters, but the first goal is to show all of our subscribers that it's going to be the same quality twice a month, no reason to worry at all. And then after I get a few editions under my belt, I'll have to prove this. I don't expect people to believe it until they see it. I think I can make it even better than it even was before. Now, that's saying quite a lot for all the work that Bill Ballinger and Susan Demas did to make it as excellent as it is, but that's my goal.
So what ideas do you have for changing it already? I mean, you must be thinking about it, different things, different avenues you want to take.
Well, I just signed the paperwork the other day, John. Come on, man. Well, I figure, we'll get it up to 5 days a week and put those bums at MERS out of business.
Go.
Right. Well, I mean, the first thing is just to make sure that I can do it as well as it was done since 1987 when it was founded. And then I just look for more subscribers and maybe do some more things online and that sort of thing. So I'll steal some ideas from you guys.
Do you envision hiring some people and having a staff, or is this something you're just going to be doing yourself?
Maybe I would be wonderful if someday it was such a bigger deal that I had to subcontract out to people. Besides those few instances where I might have a conflict, where I have to subcontract somebody else to write it, I'm just going to run it myself, and in addition to the other clients I have with Advantage Associates.
So it's still going to be on blue paper, right?
Yeah, the print edition, 24 issues of, via email is $99 a year. If you also want the classic blue edition, which I'm holding in my hand here.
Yeah, and it is blue.
Yeah, it's always going to be blue.
Okay.
I mean, even 35 years from now, when people don't even know what paper is, we're going to put out one blue edition, if only it's for just for me. It'll always be blue, and it'll be two columns and four pages with very tiny margins for a very long time to come.
And you also have something at the end of Inside Michigan Politics that has been around since Ballinger. Who said it?
They said it. This is...
So who said it? They said it.
Yeah, well, at the end of most editions, there's They Said It, which is kind of like the MERS quote of the day, except better. Mm-hmm. Oh, wait. This is MERS, not the other guys, right? I'm sorry. Yeah. I don't know if I'll have that huge of a They Said It section, but we'll include that for sure. And, of course, every couple of months, there'll be the charts, the House and the Senate and the congressional charts, and who's leaning and who's likely and who's got it in the bag and such. So
yeah, that's really exciting. What are you most excited about with this new venture that you're taking on?
It's funny. Back in 2008, I went on the website, the Inside Michigan Politics website, when Bill Ballinger owned it, and it said back issues available for $150. And I thought, well, I better get a whole lot of back issues for $150. So I emailed him and said, how many back issues can I get, Mr. Ballinger, for $150? And he replied, how many do you want? And I said, well, I'd like to have all of them, expecting he would reply, but, well, how about I give you like 100 of them, okay? I'm not giving you, you know, everyone back in 1987. A week later, he emailed me and said, hey, Jake, I'm going to be out of town, but there's a big plastic bag with every edition from 1987 to 2008 in it, and please go pick it up. I got your $150 via credit card. Please pick it up before it rains. So I drove over there. I was really hoping to meet him, but he was on the road, hence leaving it outside. And I used to own the first 21 years worth of it.
Wow.
Now I have access to all 21 years now, of course, but.
And you've already read through them all, I'm sure.
Well, I didn't really read them all. I didn't really read every single one, but I read a bunch of them and skimmed them all really closely and found out that Kyle Malin was once the editor of the State News.
I was.
And all sorts of other things. And, back when, it'd be so funny to read something from 87 or 88 and you hear about some person who's a big shot now and like, oh, new on the scene is, this guy. It's like, that guy's a legend. Oh, I guess this was 20 years ago. Wow. So it's really fascinating stuff.
Well,
for me.
That's fun. Well, congratulations, Jake. Welcome to the press corps. This will be very exciting and glad that you're in and in the club.
Yep. Look forward to seeing what you're going to do with it.
Thanks, guys. And remember, insidemichiganpolitics.com/subscribe.
There it is. So that's the plug. All right. Well, hang around here, Jake. We've got some other things we want to talk about. And John, first on the list is some polling that we did on the Democratic gubernatorial primary.
Yes, I was curious to see what Sri Tanadar was doing, so I asked Ed Sarpolis over at Target Insight to drop a poll last week, and he ran that, I think, Wednesday, Thursday.
And that came after Sri did his own poll.
He
hired Epic MRA to see what they did.
Yep, and the results that we have are very similar. Gretchen Whitmer is obviously she's still in the lead of the race by about 14 points, I believe. But she's dropped. She's dropped 11 points since November of 2017. Abdu El-Sayed has dropped 7 points since November of 2018. And guess who is up 18 points since then? One Sri Tanadar, probably courtesy of those ads where he tries to help voters pronounce his complicated name.
Well, that would make some sense, though. I guess it shows that, like Sri said, that money can buy some name ID.
Great to hear that his name ID is so high, because as we all know, the election is March 1st, right? So the idea is to spend your money now.
Absolutely.
Because the people, they cast their votes for the primary in, 2 weeks? Or oh, wait, they don't.
That is very true. Well, before you get on name ID, John, do the head-to-head. So where is Gretchen? Is it 34%? Is that right?
Gretchen Whitmer's at 34%. Sri is at 20%. Abdul is at 6%. Bill Cobbs is at 4%. And 33% are undecided or unsure.
And this was done of how many people? Is this 500?
500, a survey of 500, kind of a blended call combination. So there is that. We also asked, of interest, there's been a lot of talk about what would happen or the prospects of a possibly all-female Democratic ticket. So we asked these Democrats what they thought about the composition of the ticket prior to the state endorsement convention in April. What would they think of an all-female ticket? 6% supported that concept. thought it would be a good thing. Only 3% thought an all-male ticket would be a good thing, not surprisingly. And 57% of Democrats want a blend. They want women and men in the ticket.
The way things are shaping up right now, it looks like Gretchen's going to have to find a male running mate the way things are looking right now then.
Yep, looks like it.
That's an interesting question. I was thinking about name ID, and if I understand right, Sri Tanadar has a higher name ID than Gretchen Whitmer, but Gretchen Whitmer's still up in the poll. Is that right?
Yes.
I hate to say this, and I wish things weren't this way, but Gretchen Whitmer's name is Gretchen Whitmer, and Mr. Tanadar's name is Sri? Mm-hmm. Is that how you say it? Yep. His name is Sri Tanadar. Now, that shouldn't matter, but unfortunately, it still does. Doesn't it?
Well, it does.
You know, it's not fair. Hopefully the world will be
on favorability ratings, he's got 47%. She's got 46%. El Sayed has 24%. He's got 35% don't know or have an opinion of him. Whitmer, 50% don't know or have an opinion of her. So, you know, it just kind of spreads it
50%
out.
50%
don't know
who
Gretchen
she
Whitmer is.
Is.
We know her well in this town, but, you know, people out in the hinterland still got to meet her.
So it reminds me of Posthumus and Dick Posthumus in 2002 when everyone, you know, around within a mile of the House office building or, you know, the Capitol knew who he was. But, you know, outside of Kent County, it could have been any, you know, it could have been my name on the ballot, quite frankly, up until he started spending serious money, obviously, at the end, which is when you're supposed to spend it.
Jack, what's your thoughts on this poll?
Well, I thought it was interesting that Tanadar actually is ahead right now in terms of name recognition. That's a little bit of a surprise. But then again, I suspect that was his goal, a big part of his goal, to do spend the money he has this early. Mm-hmm. The backdrop to this, of course, is that I would argue the bigger fact of what's taking place on the Democratic side in the governor's race is it appears that all the unions, the establishments, groups, et cetera, have finally decided they're not going to keep looking for some perfect, imaginary perfect candidate, and they're saying, look, there really isn't anything wrong here with Gretchen Whitmer, so we're starting to see these endorsements.
Yeah, just today we've got Dan Kildee, Brenda Lawrence, Sandy Levin, Debbie Dingell, all have endorsed Gretchen Whitmer. This comes after another union decided to support Gretchen Whitmer over the weekend in AFSCME, and then we have UAW is going to come on board. The snowball is rolling downhill, guys, it looks like.
Another reason why, I mean, in addition to name ID, that you might see Mr. Tanadar and Sayed doing rather well sometimes is because since they aren't going to be the nominee of the Democratic Party, they can tell the base what they want to hear, whereas Gretchen Whitmer has probably feels a responsibility to her party and the things that she believes in to try to win the general election, so she's not out there just saying things to rile up the base and please them. So,
well, that's an interesting take, and because the backdrop of this is the Democratic endorsement convention, which is only a month away
right
now.
Yep.
And my understanding is that there are a lot of folks that Jake are talking about, these new progressives, very interested in getting into the party, who have signed up and are interested in showing up at Cobo Hall to make their presence known, to try and help direct the direction of the party and make it their own, that this just isn't the old union-endorsed party anymore. This is a progressive party, and this is what they're hoping for.
Yep, and it's going to be fascinating to watch as they sort of determine the amount of influence they're going to have over this party. It's sort of an internal struggle, like we saw, obviously, with the Tea Party years ago. It'll be interesting to see how the Michigan Democrats come out of it at the end of the process.
I think Sri Tanadar is going to be around for the full run. And the thing about him that's interesting, and I certainly wouldn't pick him to get the nomination, but everyone who has dealt with him at all realizes he seems to be having a good time, and he seems to very much like being a candidate. And that would make him, to me, seem to be somebody who may be a kind of a pain in the neck who just hangs on and hangs on for a long time.
Michigan's Bernie Sanders, right? You know, he's not going to give up the ghost till he's absolutely got to give up the ghost, and that's going to make it fun to watch.
Yeah, Tanadar and Sayed can make Gretchen Whitmer spend a whole lot of money by the time August 7th rolls around, whereas Bill Schuette's doing so well. I mean, he's got to have to spend a little bit of money just to put Cali away, but it's very good news for Schuette. I'm sure he really likes Tanadar and Sayed and what they're doing.
Well, I think Tanner for sure, because he's got money to spend and he's already shown that he's going to spend it. And these numbers got to be, speaking about El Sayed, he's got to be a little concerned about this, John, wouldn't you think? I mean, his numbers are going down. Shree's numbers are going up.
Well, and he really, you know, I mean, he's kind of addressing the issue that we've addressed with both these candidates before. They both have to spend a lot of money, not just because they're not known, but we've talked about just sort of the different issue they have in terms of, I mean, just the kind of foreign-sounding name. You have to overcome that. Shree's really spent the money to start doing that. Abdul El Sayed has not. Mm-hmm. So there's that issue as well.
And wait till they start having to take actual, you know, they get serious questions on policy issues from reporters all the time. These two guys have never run for office. They don't know how to talk without saying anything. So you're going to have your series of...
You mean politicians talk without saying anything?
The good ones.
Really?
The successful ones, yes.
I tell you what, though. These Democratic candidates have been in front of a lot of groups, and I give them a lot of credit. Abdul and Gretchen Whitmer and Shree Tanadar and Bill Cobbs have been at several forums where they've been able to talk about their vision and their positions on issues, and I think have been very upfront on their policy positions and have not gotten into the trap that Jake talks about, where they say a lot of things without saying anything.
No, I thought they did. The one we went to, I thought they all did very well. We talked to the audience afterwards. The results were mixed. It wasn't overwhelmingly Whitmer. It wasn't, you know, I mean, they all were sort of earning their own supporters as they went.
So. And I don't mean to run down, you know, Sayed and Tanadar. I think they, you know, if they want to, they certainly have a great future in the party. They're, you know, they're well-funded. They're making a lot of friends. They're learning a lot of things. You know, they're not going to win the nomination, but if they, you know, as long as they don't, as long as they get behind the ticket when it's over, they've got, you know, big futures in the party for sure.
Could either of them be Gretchen Whitmer's running mate? Let's say that Abdul or Shree catch fire, and it's a real close race, and it would bring the progressives over.
You know, this is a question I should know. Now, a candidate, you know, obviously there's all the contribution restrictions, but you can always spend as much of your own money as you want, right? Now, if you're the lieutenant governor candidate on a joint ticket, when you're on the, you know, you're voting for both the governor and the lieutenant governor, can a rich lieutenant governor candidate spend all his money, spend $1 million saying how great Gretchen Whitmer is?
Well, it would have to be himself as well, right?
Yeah, so it'd be. I don't know why. We could call our campaign finance expert, Mr. Craig Mauger, and ask him that question. But
call Eric Doster or something.
And if you can't do it directly for your own campaign, I'm sure I don't know why you couldn't set up one of these.
If they're willing to put in like $5 million, you know, I think that you know, why not,
Jack? I don't know. That's a decent idea. It depends, I guess, on how much, on what kind of momentum Shree Tanadar can get and how close he can make it, I suppose. That's a possibility. Gretchen Whitmer might decide who her running mate is well before the primary, though, I'm going to guess.
Well, I think it comes down to those individuals. I mean, that's definitely a big part of it. I mean, can they get along if they talk together and they actually, you know, figure out a way that it would work? I don't see any problem. I think the name problem is really reduced as a lieutenant governor compared to the governor. How many people pay that much attention? So that's an interesting thought.
One more question I want to ask. Bill Cobbs. Will Bill Cobbs make the ballot? That's the next question. He says he's going to get the signatures, but he doesn't have a campaign apparatus. He's not raising a lot of money. In fact, he's raised less money than about 150 state House candidates at this point. He says he's going to do it, John.
It's a big ask if you don't have much of a campaign apparatus and you don't have money to hire it to be done. It's a lot of signatures you got to get.
He's got 2 months. He only has, about 2 months left? Has he said how many signatures he has or hinted at?
No. Now, he's claimed, when I've talked to him about it before, he said he's going to get them by March, right? And so now we're in the throes of March.
I'm sorry, 1 month. I'm thinking of the old
He's only got 5 weeks.
It's only been the third Tuesday in April for like 7 years. Sorry. It'll always be May 21st to me.
Well, you can always say that he's going to go to the Democratic Endorsement Convention, and that's shooting fish in a barrel, right? He should be able to get signatures there. But my understanding is once you sign a petition signature for candidate A, you can't sign a petition signature for candidate B for the same office. That's my understanding.
Look, if you're worried at this point, you're not, and we're even asking the question at this point, I think that says more than anything.
Okay, getting back to the poll here, John, let's kind of tie a bow on this. There was one more question that you'd asked.
We asked sort of the Democrats what was their ranking issue that they felt state government needed to be dealing with the most urgently. And surprise, surprise, roads and bridges and their disrepair or repair came in number one.
With what percent?
25%. Improving education ranked number two at 18%, and healthcare came in third at 14%. So,
Jack, you surprised by this?
Not entirely. I felt that the one that the Democrats really had, that you could just tell that they could really sink their teeth into was roads. And whether that's fair or not, whether they get the money for it, but it takes several years to catch up, et cetera, it doesn't matter. I think that is really one that it's almost a swing and can't miss on.
I just received a email fundraising pitch from, I believe it was the House Democratic Caucus, and it was about roads. That was the number one thing. They had a picture of a crumbling road right there. Donate to the Democrats because we're going to finally address this issue once and for all. So I think they are starting to see that this is an issue that they can get some mileage on.
Didn't we fund the roads though, Kyle? Didn't we pass a bill a couple years ago?
Yeah, we did. That was supposed to fix them until the next time, the road interest wanted more money. There has been a particularly horrible freeze-thaw this year. And I've noticed it in Lansing. It's just horrible. And I've heard stories, somebody from Macomb County, I know, said he was the 27th person in line at a tire store because 26 other people hit that same giant hole in the ground. I mean, I've never heard of stories like that. And so that's only one example that I've heard just as an anecdote.
But to your point, though, John, that's the problem, right? I mean, everybody has to drive on the roads. And you can tell them all day long they're getting better.
And we knew when we passed this package, it was only a partial solution. I remember interviewing the Kirk Steidel, the director of transportation. I think it was no more than 6 months after this bill package passed. And I said, when are we going to have to be talking about raising more money for roads? And he said, I think if you remember right, he said 2018 or 2019.
Well, I'm sure the politicians on both sides are kind of thinking, we'll let the other side go first about, increasing the gas tax, which is really just a pure user fee. But the people in Michigan, they want better roads. But of course, like normal people, they want it for free. So until that changes, our roads are going to be like this.
So these options were given to Democratic respondents. So outside of the roads, education, healthcare, what were they also given the option on?
7% indicated economy and jobs were the number one issue. 6% indicated taxes and government spending were the number one issue. And then we dropped down to opioid abuse, which was only identified by 1% of the population. Oh, and 3% said protect our seniors.
Okay. We didn't ask about firearms or guns.
You didn't ask about firearms or guns, no.
Yeah, okay.
We didn't take that shot.
Great.
Sorry.
All right, we're good. Well, I'm glad I'm not the only one to use a pun in this podcast. Well, thanks for sharing that information, John. I think we're going to go ahead and wrap it up. Thanks to Jake Davison for coming in to MERS World Headquarters for his premier first interview as a publisher of Inside Michigan Politics. Jack Spencer and John, congratulations on getting second place last week in the
Cabin Fever Games.
The Cabin Fever Games.
Yeah.
That is very exciting. You, Michelle, must be very proud.
Very proud. We got what they call the Top Suey Prize. So it's the whole thing is pick themed. You have to be there. But.
So what game do you think you and Michelle excelled at the best? Was it euchre? Was it cribbage? Was it darts? What was it?
Oh, gosh. It was probably pool and cribbage. That was probably what we led with.
Well, it's because you got a pool table at your house. That's why you were able to dominate that.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, you're a shark. Don't try and play pool against John. He'll beat you every time.
There you go.
All right. Well, thanks to our sponsor AT&T for sponsoring this and all our other podcasts. Until next week, I'm Kyle Mullen. Take care.